Well, good morning and welcome to worship on this lovely June day. And we were so blessed to have a little bit of rain overnight. And it looks like we might be getting a little bit more, which will be good to help the crops and the weeds. So it's great to see everyone here. And we welcome back Terry, Buddy, and her husband, Dale. Terry will be giving us the message this morning. Let's see, a few weeks ago, I'm sure your message about nobody will be just as uplifting and informative as your message on the prodigal sons was a few weeks ago. I'm glad to see the flags still out around the church. Glad Dorothy and Laverne left those there because this Tuesday, June 14th, we celebrate Flag Day. So we honor our flag and what it stands for. And it was in 1777 that Flag Day was first started to commemorate the design of the first national flag.
It's good to see you all and have you all here. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it altogether. You pursue me behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God, and that the bloodthirsty would depart from me. Those who maliciously defy you, who lift themselves up against you for evil. Do I not hate them that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe them that rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you this morning with hearts that overflow with love for you, not only because you loved us first, as the Bible said in our song also this morning, but because you love us unconditionally. No matter where we are on our faith journey, you are always there beside us. If we stray, you nudge us back on track. If we mess up, you forgive us if we ask. You teach us through your word. You teach us through your Holy Spirit. And we are so thankful and grateful for all that you do for us. We thank you for Ben Cassidy, who has said yes to the question of coming here to be our pastor. We pray that as a congregation, we will continue to grow in faith and that he will be able to show us the way to bring your word and your love to more people in our community. We also thank you for people like Terry who have helped us out while we had no pastor. They have been willing and more than able to bring your word to us. And we are thankful for them. Today we lifted up our joys and our concerns to you, Lord, and we thank you for hearing. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died for our sins, that we might be free just for the asking. Amen. And if you'll join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I am Terry Buddy. I have my husband, who's also my driver, Dale, with me. And we come from Remington, Indiana, not too far from here. And we are so glad to be in worship with each of you today. So today's scripture will be John 4:4 through 29, and then 39 through 41. And it goes something like this. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and has now come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers and must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, who is called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" And continuing on at verse 39, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. and because of his words, many more became believers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Will you join me in prayer, please? Lord of Lords, King of Kings, it is so good to be in your house, Lord, and to worship you freely. Many people in many places do not have this opportunity. And as I look around at these beautiful worshipers this morning, everyone here got up out of bed. They put 2 feet on the floor. And they got themselves ready to come and worship. They had a home that protects them from the elements, food in the refrigerator, freezer, running water, working sewage, electricity. They had vehicles that took them, brought them here. We had clothes to cover ourselves. Lord, sometimes we forget to say thank you for the blessings that you give us each and every day, for the breath that we take, and we thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you fill this house with the Holy Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, and let these words that have been laid upon my heart be your words, Father, not my words. Allow me to step aside and you to shine. Use me as your hands and feet, Lord. Amen. I will tell you that the story of the Samaritan woman is probably one of my most favorite in the Bible, and I love giving this message. I am so blessed to be here with you today and giving this. The story of the Samaritan woman meeting Jesus at the well, I already said, is one of my favorites. I have read it many, many times, but each time I read it, I get something different from the scripture. Do you ever do that? Maybe have a favorite scripture and you read it and you figure something out, and you read it again, you figure something else out. I do that. So today's message is how it is okay to be nobody. Have you ever felt like a nobody? Maybe somebody who doesn't quite fit in with the crowd. Maybe you weren't popular in school. Maybe you weren't popular where you worked. Have you spent too much time looking for acceptance from your family, from your church, your coworkers? I know there have been many times in my life that I felt like a nobody. Maybe it's why I relate so easily to the Samaritan woman. From the scripture, we find out that Jesus and his disciples were walking back to Galilee. They decided to travel through Samaria, which is in the central region of Palestine. So you have a better picture of the area. Samaria is located with Galilee to the north and Judea to the south, and it is about 40 miles long. Samaria is bordered by the Mediterranean Sea to the west and the Jordan River to the east, and it is about 35 miles wide. The climate of Samaria is influenced by the Mediterranean Sea. Samaria has 2 main seasons, summer and winter. Kind of like the weather we have here in Indiana, right? I think spring and fall get lost somewhere in Indiana. Summers in Samaria are long, hot, and dry, and winters are short, cool, and rainy. Now, we don't know what time of year this piece of scripture takes place, but in my mind, I imagine a very hot day with the sun brightly shining overhead. When Jesus and his disciples reached the town of Sychar, the disciples decided to walk on into town to get some food. Jesus stayed and rested, finding a place to sit near the well. Scripture tells us it was about noon. And I can just see that sun high overhead and imagine its warmth shining down. As Jesus was sitting and resting, along comes a Samaritan woman. She has brought her jar to the well to draw water for her family. I find it interesting that this Samaritan woman comes to the well alone during the heat of the day. You see, she doesn't fit in. The other women from this area travel to the well with their jars either early in the morning, before it gets too hot, or in the evening when it's cooler. I have no idea how far they have to walk to get to the well, but they are carrying large jars full of water back to their homes, and the cooler weather, I'm sure, is more comfortable for them. But the Samaritan woman, she would rather travel to and from the well with her jar during the heat of the day than face the looks, the ridicule, probably the laughter and the whispers in the early morning or the evening from the other women. Because of this woman's past, no one wants to associate with her, let alone befriend her or be seen walking with her. She was a nobody. Like the song said, all her life, she'd been told she belonged at the back of the line with all the other not-quites and never-get-it-rights. There are a few things that I find strange in this scripture. First of all, it was not a normal custom for men to have conversations with women, especially women they did not know. Second, do you find it interesting that we never find out the woman's name? She is referred to as the Samaritan woman at the well throughout this entire passage. So now, she's a not named nobody. And third, Jesus is a Jew, and the woman is a Samaritan. Jewish people wanted nothing to do with Samaritan people. Samaritans were descendants of the Israelites of the Northern Kingdom, who had intermarried with foreign settlers after the fall of Samaria. As a result of the racial intermarriage, they were no longer considered to be truly Jewish, and they were hated by most of the Jews. In fact, Jewish people would travel around Samaria, adding many more miles to their trip rather than pass through Samaria. And remember, we've already talked about Samaria being 40 miles long, but also remember, they're not riding in a minivan. Jesus is tired, he's thirsty, and he asks the Samaritan woman for a drink of water from the well. They talk about living water, and the Samaritan woman doesn't understand Jesus. She wants this living water so she won't have to travel back to this well during the heat of the day. She's not grasping this offer of life-saving water. So Jesus says, "Go get your husband and bring him to the well." And the Samaritan woman answers truthfully that she doesn't have a husband. Aha! But Jesus already knows that. And he also knows that she's had 5 husbands and is currently living with a man that she is not married to. I can only imagine what that Samaritan woman was thinking. How does this guy know this about me? Am I really that bad of a person that all these people know the bad stuff I've done before they even meet me? And then it comes to her, this guy Jesus, he's a prophet. That's how he knows so much about me. The conversation continues, and Jesus explains to her that the time is coming soon when true worshipers will not be restricted on where they worship. He tells her they will worship anywhere, in spirit and in truth. The Samaritan woman tells Jesus that the promised Messiah will explain everything when he comes. And what does Jesus say to her? I am he. I am he. Well, now that puts a totally different spin on things, doesn't it? Little Miss Nobody's just realized she's come face to face with the Messiah, with her Jesus. So what does she do? First of all, she forgets why she's at the well and she leaves her water jar. She goes back to town. In my mind, I can just imagine her feet running as fast as they can. What does she do once she gets to town? She tells these people who make her feel like a nobody, these people that ridicule her, whisper about her. They probably point and laugh at her. She tells them that she has just met someone at the well who knows everything about her. She is talking and engaging with the very people she avoids on a daily basis. And off the townspeople go, headed toward the well where Jesus is. The second part of our scripture talks about the many Samaritans who came to believe in Jesus because of the Samaritan woman's testimony. Jesus used the Samaritan woman, a not named nobody, to tell everybody all about somebody who saved her soul. That's what Jesus does, and it's what he did in this story. But my friends, Jesus is still doing this today. So let's go back to those initial questions I asked you. Do you remember them? I know, it's been a few minutes. Have you ever felt like a nobody? Someone who doesn't fit in? Maybe you weren't with the popular crowd in school. Have you spent too much time looking for acceptance from your family, your church, your coworkers? Guess what? It's okay to be a nobody. In fact, I think it's awesome. Jesus hung out with nobodies most of the time in the Bible. So the next time you find yourself standing at the back of the line with all the other not quites and never get it rights, just remember, Jesus is standing right there next to you and he has his arm around you. And now for our benediction. Oh, loving Lord, I want you to take these people out into their community, reminding them it's okay to feel like a nobody. It's not okay to be a nobody and do nothing. It is okay to be a nobody and go out and tell everybody all about somebody who changed their lives. Have a great week, everyone.